And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Ray Shasho Show, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Each week, Ray spotlights in-depth interviews with legendary and up-and-coming authors and music artists. Ray also features the movers and the shakers of the music and publishing industries and suggests important methods for getting the most out of your public relations and marketing needs. Please welcome music journalist, author, and entrepreneur, Ray Shasho.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ray Shasho, broadcasting from VBS Radio, and welcome to the show where we spotlight legendary and up-and-coming music artists and authors, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call us today at 941-877-1552 or visit www.publicityworksagency.com. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. Seattle, Washington native Roger Fisher was the hard-driving electric fury that established Heart as a rock and roll powerhouse in the 70s. Originally known as Hocus Pocus, Heart was formed by guitarist Roger Fisher, bassist Steve Fawson, and Roger's brother Mike Fisher, who became the band's manager. They met Ann Wilson at one of the band's gigs. Soon thereafter, Roger, Mike, Steve, and Ann Wilson moved to Canada. Heart was officially formed in 1973 with their new songstress and songwriter, Ann Wilson. The following year, guitarist, vocalist, songwriter, and sister Nancy Wilson joined the band. With the help of producer Mike Flicker and session guitarist, keyboardist Howard Leese, who became a full-time member of Heart in 1975, the band recorded a demo tape. Heart's debut album, Dreamboat Annie, was subsequently recorded for Mushroom Records in Vancouver, Canada. The seductive album cover featured a bare-shouldered Ann and Nancy leaning up against each other. The singles Magic Man and Dreamboat Annie quickly gained notoriety over Canadian airwaves. Dreamboat Annie was released in the U.S. on Valentine's Day, 1976. Magic Man became the band's first top 10 hit. Crazy on You reached number 35, and the single Dreamboat Annie reached number 42 in the U.S. on Billboard's Hot 100. The album sold over a million copies and became a mainstay on AOR radio stations worldwide. Heart became instantly identifiable as a rock phenomenon, a band fronted by two beautiful and multi-talented women, but backed by hard rock virtuosos. It was that very combination which gave the band its true identity. Brothers Roger and Mike Fisher became romantically involved with sisters Nancy and Ann Wilson, and Magic Man was written about Mike's torrid love affair with Ann. After the success of Dreamboat Annie, Heart left Mushroom Records due to a publicity stunt that stated the sisters were actually lesbian lovers. The group signed with Portrait Records and later released the album Little Queen in 1977. The album featured Barracuda, a tune that would become recognized as Heart's signature song. Roger Fisher's pivotal hard rock thrusting intro to Barracuda will forever be glorified in rock and roll history. And Wilson penned the tune out of sheer anger over Mushroom's lesbian publicity stunt. Roger Fisher was a co-writer on Barracuda and on many other tracks on Little Queen. Barracuda reached number 11 on Billboard's Hot 100. Another preeminent arrangement on the album was Roger Fisher's co-written masterpiece titled Love Alive. 1978, Heart released Dog and Butterfly on Portrait Records. The album spent 36 weeks on the charts and peaked at number 7 on Billboard's 200 highest-selling albums. Straight On was the first song released from the album, reaching number 15 on the charts. The title track, Dog and Butterfly, reached number 34 on Billboard's Hot 100. Dog and Butterfly spawned several profound arrangements, including Minstrel Wind, an incredible rock measure co-written by Roger Fisher. In 1979, Roger's romance with Nancy Wilson ended. Later that year, Roger Fisher was voted out of the band. Mike Fisher also left the band after breaking his relationship with Ann Wilson. Heart lost their rock and roll backbone when Roger Fisher was asked to leave the band. Roger's songwriting and iconic guitar riffs have been used in numerous TV commercials, TV shows, Guitar Hero, and in several movies, including Charlie's Angels and Shrek 3. Other artists have covered his material, including Eminem. His timeless anthem guitar intro to Barracuda is frequently used as the lead in for America's number one rated radio talk show, Rush Limbaugh. Tony Robbins refers to Barracuda as part of the turning point in his life. It was also controversially featured by Republican presidential and vice presidential candidates John McCain and Sarah Palin in the 2008 election. The original lineup of Hart was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2013. Roger Fisher's latest release is album one, entitled It's All Told, of a four-album package entitled One Vision with brother Mike, a.k.a. Magic Man. Please welcome legendary Hart guitarist and songwriter Roger Fisher to the Ray Shasho Show. Hello, Roger.
Hey, Ray Shasho Show. That's a good one.
Did that cover just about everything? Or almost?
No, it covered enough. Mike and I are working on a dual autobiography that will cover a lot more detail in there.
You got a lot of stuff going on.
It's nice at 67 years old to not be in a hurry to finish any of it.
Sixty-seven is the new 50.
We plod along and we work, at least 5 days a week on our art, and it's wonderful to, to have your brother to be working with, because we happen to like each other, and so it works out really well.
That's unusual.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Yeah, I talked to, Dave Davies of the Kinks, and, I was kidding him about his relationship with Ray, and that's always up and down, and then he grew up in a musical family. Yeah, so, and, I got an older brother, I know how it is, so it's a good thing that you guys, are close and work together like that. I think it's wonderful.
It's a real neat team because, I have certain strengths and weaknesses, and he has different strengths, and so we rely on both of our input of our positive best points to have a check and balance system that makes the music much more than it could be without either one of us.
Yeah, and it's cool because you were both there from the very, very beginning, even before Hart even, got launched. So you guys...
Absolutely, yeah. And people don't know how big an influence we were in the band. I mean, I think a lot of people sense that when we left, wow, there's definitely something missing. But we made a lot of decisions in a lot of areas that were an important element of the construct of the chemistry of the band. And when we left it, it was a shame that had to happen the way it did. But we're all still alive and breathing, and life goes on, and Mike and I are just happily being a font of new music, and entering the video world was just really, really wonderful for me. It was like learning a new instrument, so I became fairly adept at video editing, and I love shooting video, and it's fun to have a craft that you just absolutely love and you live and breathe every day.
Well, we're Facebook friends, and I get to see, your day-to-day. You're always happy. Everything you do, and you just came back from back into the country. Where were you again?
Yeah, we were in Norway for 2 weeks.
Norway, okay.
Yeah.
And you travel a lot, I see that, but you're just a happy guy.
It's funny because we all have the choice 24 hours a day of what we want to do, how we want to be, what kind of attitude we can have, and what we radiate to the rest of the world. And when you realize that you always have a choice, well, then why not choose a way of looking at all the challenges that you face in daily life in a way that's positive and keeps you on the up? I mean, geez, you look at all the things that can bring you down, and there's a lot of ways to become miserable.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah. I just try and steer away from all that stuff.
Good for you. Last time we chatted, you were on the way. You're going to do a bike ride, and you're getting ready for that. So, I was catching you on the way, and I think you took a long bike ride or something like that. But you guys were, I guess, nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but you didn't make it the first time. So now I want to wish you a belated congratulations on finally making the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Thanks.
Yeah.
What an honor to be part of that crowd of people. It's really amazing.
You don't know how happy I was to see the original Heart performing together again on stage. That really made me happy.
Yeah, good. Yeah, a lot of people got a kick out of that for sure.
How was the reunion received by Ann and Nancy? Did you guys talk much at the show?
Well, we had a rehearsal a couple days before,
right.
And it was at a rehearsal space in L.A. It was right next to Ozzy's space where he was rehearsing at the time. And all the guys were in there first, and we all got all tuned up, and we're just cracking jokes and stuff. So when they came in, I went up to each one of them and had a moment of very personal, intimate conversation before we got going, and that was nice in both cases, because you could tell very strongly that there was the original love for each other still there, and that. That we appreciated. My cat is biting me. we appreciated, you know, seeing each other and having a chance to play again. And so then, when we actually did run the song down, "Crazy on You," for the first time, oh my God, it was so just exactly the same as it used to be. You know, we hadn't rehearsed yet. This is the first time, and it was just amazing how good it was, how full of electricity it was. It reminded me of the very first time that we auditioned Anne.
Right.
We went to the basement of a house in the Seattle area where she and her band had rehearsed, and when we played the first time. God, it was just absolutely electric. There was so much energy and excitement in the room that everybody was just shocked. That was a precursor of, you know, what was to become a great band. But, when you have a chemistry that works so well like that, it's really, really special. It's like, you know, you combine steel and aluminum and zinc and these certain other elements, and you get this certain result. You get a thing that is only it because of its constituents. And that band was really that way. Without any one of us, it wouldn't have been the same. But because of all of us, it was a real special blend, a real special chemistry.
Yeah, it was really evident on stage. You guys were awesome, you know, and you were having a lot of fun, man. You're great, man. It was great to see the old Roger again, you know, on stage with Heart. It was unbelievable. I'm like you, you know, I never really felt the guys in Heart got their fair share of credit. You know, especially you. You know, and I was a little disturbed when the girls just kind of ran off with the band, you know, and did that. I know they got lots of talent and everything, but you know, it's not to me. It was never the same band without you guys. You know, and I guess the only guy that stayed was Howard, right? He was the only one who stuck around there.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the way she goes.
I know you want to say something else, don't you? But you're being hesitant.
I'm sitting out here on the grass in front of my house because.
Are you really?
There's better phone reception out here, and my dog
okay.
is playing with me and biting me and scratching me. So my attention span is being diverted a little bit.
How many critters do you have in living with you there?
Oh, we have two cats, and we've got 16 koi. We put a koi pond in the backyard.
Oh, wow.
Last year, and oh, it's just awesome. There's like four waterfalls. You go into our backyard, and it's like you've stepped into the mountains. It's just gorgeous.
Do the cats leave them alone?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Fortunately for them, because if they didn't, they'd be, well, they would be sorry that they didn't leave them alone. But no, I get in the pond every day with them, and so now I'm the feeding guy. So when the feeding guy gets in the pond, the fish are just all over me, and it's
really,
yeah, it's really a nice feeling.
Oh, you got to put that on Facebook. I'd love to see that. do a live feed, you know, with you in the koi pond feeding the fish. That'd be awesome.
yeah, I've got to do it.
Oh man!
But you know, it's interesting, the music business these days. It's so different than it used to be.
Yep.
You know, you'd think that with the level playing field of the internet, it would have helped independent artists, and it has in a way, but man, there is so much competition now. There's a bajillion musical artists vying for attention, and it's strange because you sell music once and that's pretty much it. But for instance, I developed a kind of tea a few years ago that we sell as part of one of our products. And the tea sells, but then in a month or so, then it sells again, and then it sells again. So the tea keeps selling, and it's actually selling better than our music is.
Is it really?
Yeah. But we've got two new albums coming out. We've got part two in the One Vision Project.
Right.
Which is really a cool album. A lot of it is about standing your ground and making a stand for what you believe in. And so it's real timely, along with Standing Rock and things like that. And with so much of the climate of the world right now, it's so polarized and divided that the forces bringing people together, all those kinds of movements and clubs and communities and intention is really, really happening. And it's so exciting to see that, and that's kind of what we're a part of. So there's part two of the One Vision Project, which is a four album project, like you mentioned. Mm-hmm. That's coming out real soon. And then we're just about finished with another album called Heart of the Blues. And it's an album that just pays homage to the fact that these people were brought from Africa over on slave ships and sold in the southern United States. And through their experience and their pain and their challenges, the blues was born, along with rock and rhythm and blues and jazz and swing and all that came.
Yep.
All that came through the Mississippi Delta, and so this album, Heart of the Blues, is touches on a lot of different aspects of that incredibly significant influence in our world. And it's a great album, really, really.
So these are going to be cover songs.
No, they're all originals.
Oh, they're all originals. Wow. That's incredible. New blues. Man.
Oh, man. That's all we do. You know, I've got hundreds of songs.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's time for a new album, we look through the catalog, and we'll pick this one and that one to fit with the current songs that we're writing. And so the albums are real. Like All Told, which came out last year, it's a very clear story of a person's life, from being real young and going through all the experiences that we all go through to death. And the album is so powerful that many people have said that it's a life-changing experience for them. We recommend that when you listen to that album, that you get a group of people and sit down and have a drink and have a smoke or whatever, mm-hmm. and just sit down ready to spend an hour, a little over an hour, taking this thing in. And when people do that, it's really powerful. It's a very, very deep experience.
Well, it's an incredible album. Yeah. I listened to the whole thing, and I wanted to make some comments about it as well. There's definitely an influence of world music on the album, which
yeah.
is really, really cool.
Yeah.
You've got the song I really like, I think, was a favorite, is Rivers of Soul.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's a very powerful song.
Yeah, it really, really is. And the musicianship, geez, we were introduced to this violinist from Singapore through our incredible lead vocalist, Beth Quist.
Mm-hmm.
Man, this guy is so good. And we took one of his compositions and put it together with a composition of mine and a composition of Beth Quist.
Right.
And, yeah, it's just awesome. Kailin Yong is the violinist's name. His contribution to that is so wacky that you can't say that it's a certain time signature, because it's
right.
It's this time signature for like a bar, and then it changes, and then it changes again, and then it changes again, and all in the space of like three bars, and you can't really count it. You have to just play it by feel. Yeah, it's interesting stuff. Very challenging.
Yeah, that song blew me away. Was there a sitar in there? Is somebody playing a sitar?
Yeah, I'd say there'd be sitar in there.
Because it's kind of an Indian Arabic kind of twist to it, you know. Sometimes Indian music sounds a little bit like Arabic music, so it's kind of hard sometimes to determine the difference in the two, you know.
Yeah, yeah. The point being that the world is getting smaller all the time in terms of our ability to communicate and
right.
be influenced by and use the different flavors. Ethnicities and cultural backgrounds in the expression of art. And so having that palette at our avail was just so much fun, you know, bringing different flavors in and kind of bringing the world together in a musical sense that way. Yeah, just a total
exactly.
joy.
Also, Pray for Love, you know, and who's singing on Pray for Love? Who does the wailing on that song?
Well, I sing the lead on it.
Okay.
Is that what you're talking about?
Well, isn't there a girl also on that
yeah.
on that track? Okay.
Yeah, that's Beth Quist.
Okay.
Yeah, incredible four octave range voice, amazing talent.
Would you call this album kind of a concept album?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And in a way, all of the albums are, because they are all intended to bring specific points home.
Right. Well, it's a great album. I really enjoyed it. Are you still there, Roger?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought I lost you there for a minute.
A lot of people thought that over the years.
You started out with taking the torch, sound a little bit like Barracuda, you know.
Yeah, it's got that gallop thing going.
Yeah,
on.
A little bit of that riff. You had a very nice slide guitar on One Vision, and a drum solo on. It was a that was a long track. That was a long tune. I really
yeah,
enjoyed
a lot
that
of
one
percussion
as well.
In there. Yeah, that was pretty cool having Michael Shreves from Santana and Michael DeRozier from Heart going back and forth trading eights.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know you had Michael Shreve from Santana on that track. Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. What a joy
wow.
to work with. Another great musician.
Yeah. That's awesome. They just did a reunion together, as a matter of fact.
Which yeah.
is pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Swept Away was a short, very short thing, but it was a spacey intro, and I was waiting for more of the song because it sounded great. I wanted it yeah. to go on and on and on, man.
yeah. Yeah, come to the live show to get that.
Yeah. Dear Friend, to me, it was it reminded me a little bit of Zeppelin, like an acoustic Zeppelin, you know, song.
Yeah.
In a way.
Well, you know, geez, Jimmy Page was such a big influence on me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my brother and I just adore Zeppelin and what Jimmy brought to the table. It's easy to be really inspired and do great things when you're so inspired by other people who are so great, you know.
Have you ever met Jimmy?
Nope, never
no,
did.
Huh? Oh, man.
Nope.
I know Ann and Nancy were, you know, with the Kennedy Center honors, you know, when they honored Zeppelin. That must have been a big thrill for them.
God, no kidding. What an amazing performance
Jeez.
That was. Jeez.
Yeah. I mean, they made Led Zeppelin cry.
yeah. Yeah.
that was cool.
Yeah,
Petra. Now, here's my interpretation of Petra. You know who? You know what it sounds like? To me, it sounds like a combination of ELO and the Beatles.
Yeah, a lot of people have remarked the
have
the
they
Beatles
said that?
Sound. Pardon me?
Have other people said that?
Yeah, especially the Beatles part.
Right. Well, you know, ELO kind of sounds like the Beatles at times, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because there was no intention or no deliberate.
Right.
There was no attempt to sound like the Beatles or anything.
Well, it's a good thing. I just talked to Todd Rundgren, and on his latest album, one of his tracks sounded exactly like a Brian Wilson. And he agreed. He said, I didn't intend to it, but it does sound like Brian Wilson's work, you know?
Yeah.
So it happened.
I saw Brian Wilson in Seattle a couple of months ago. My God, it was so, so good.
Really good show, huh?
Better than the Beach Boys, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
he was Pardon? Mr. Beach Boy. He was Mr. Beach Boy, you know?
Yeah, he sure was, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, thank God for people who have really dedicated themselves to their craft and reached into their personal life so deeply and mm-hmm. brought something out that is so, so valuable. Like, God Only Knows, my God, what a great song.
Oh, my God. You know, they're an American treasure, the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
You know, just hit after hit. And they, you know, they I guess, pretty much started before the Beatles did. You know, they were out there in 61, 62. Already making
yeah.
making songs, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Wanted to talk about a couple things. The feud between Ann and Nancy. I guess you know what's going on there, right?
Oh, you know, we all hear what we hear.
Yeah.
I've heard some things.
Do you know Ann's husband, Dean Wetter?
No, I don't know him.
You don't know him? Yeah. Well, it's a shame, but you know it's just a typical family thing that's happened. What have you heard? Have you heard the same thing that's been going around on the news and everything?
Oh, I don't really want to talk about that.
Okay, that's fine. But I know that they're both doing like their own solo thing now. I did see Nancy on YouTube doing a. She was on. It wasn't the Hard Rock. It was the other one. The House of Blues. She did a show with the House of Blues with a lot of new stuff, as a matter of fact, which was pretty good.
Yeah, the stuff that I've seen from her new band shows real promise.
Yeah. I was pretty surprised to see all that new material, you know, come out. But it was good. It was a very, very good show. Well, your album, I'll give it 5 stars because I think it's, you know, there was a lot of work put into that album.
God, no kidding. the thing about it is that it's part one of a 4-album complex, and the four albums all dovetail and are synergistic with each other. So to be able to pull that off, we had to think of all this stuff for the first album that is going to be repeating and having different relevance when the other albums come out.
Right.
By the time all four albums are out, if anybody can stomach all four albums, they'll see all this ingenious dovetailing of concepts and ideas, both musically and lyrically, that will be mind-blowing. And it'll be this great masterpiece, at least in our minds, that's what we're creating. But as rock goes out of style,
yeah.
Sometimes I wonder what we're doing all the work for, you know. But
yeah.
you can't not do what you do. I mean, this is what we do. And so somebody's got to like it, you know.
Well, you know, like you said, it's not really a rock album. You know, I don't know what the next one's going to sound like. But, you know, this fits in the category, too, of world music. You know, I mean, people from all over the world can really enjoy these tracks. You know,
yeah.
So it's not out of style or anything, you know.
Second album has a lot more straightforward rock on it. It's actually got a couple of songs that sound like grunge because they were written at that time when grunge was happening. And they
really
sound very, very much like grunge.
Really?
It's kind of cool, coming out with grunge in 2017.
That'll be interesting. Well, you are from Seattle, from the Washington area, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
You're around that whole scene.
Kind of naturally bubbles in the veins up here, I think.
Exactly. It's so sad, though, the grunge period and all the artists that are leaving us. I just can't fathom that, you know? I was a big fan of Chris Cornell, and that just blew me away. And now we have another one yesterday with Linkin Park, you know? I mean,
yeah.
What do you make of all this? Is it just, you know, these guys just get depressed? Is, you know, what do you think? I mean.
Well, I know exactly what a person feels that gets really depressed.
Right.
What I found in myself was that I was so indulgent in certain areas that you can only indulge so much, and you get fatigued. And when you keep indulging, when you're fatigued, you become weak, deep inside yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And everything, the world loses its color. Everything looks different. Your attitude, perception of everything changes, and you get depressed. And it's just such a awful whirlpool to get caught in, because you become so helpless. You can't see a way out of it. And when there's no way out, you know, you become suicidal. And so part of maturing and becoming wise as you get older is recognizing in yourself those directions that you can get off in that lead to that whirlpool. And so you become wise enough to just not go there.
Yep.
You know, you choose happy roads. And when you are happy and you are full of love for life and the people around you, and you recognize that you are a beacon of light that people need to see, then your life is no longer about me, I mean mine, I want to feel good, I want to have comfort, I want to have pleasure. It's more about, you know, what am I giving? What am I giving to everybody else? And when your life becomes more focused on what you're giving than what you're getting, then you experience great joy. And it's the opposite of depression. It's the opposite of suicidal. You know, you're celebrating the joy that you find through your friends and family. And that cohesiveness, that union that you have built with just caring about each other, is your star that you bring to the world. And if you don't have that star, you're not a star. You're an indulgent, probably pompous person that is going to self-destruct. And it's very sad.
Yeah. Well said. Well said. You know, the Christian, you know, believe, you know, with Jesus, if you act like Jesus, that's the way to be. You know what I mean? On earth. And, you know, it's exactly what you said. You know, give, you know, yourself to people and help people and, you know, be humble, that kind of thing. But like you say, if it's me all the time, you'll never accomplish anything. That way.
Yeah, it gets real boring.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I don't think it's a matter of money. You know, sometimes, I mean, these guys have enough money. It's not, you know, people always say, well, why would he kill himself if he's, you know, a multimillionaire? And he's got six kids on top of that, you know. That's the sad part is the children.
Yeah, it's just incredible.
Suffer.
And, you know, it's easy for me to talk about stuff. But
right.
The things that are going on in people's lives can be so complex that, you know, from the outside, we don't know how challenging the hurdles were in that person's life. And
exactly.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot you can say. You know, we all go through a lot, and to the degree that we can learn and adapt, that's how well we'll survive.
You're absolutely right. I chatted with Ronnie Montrose, Keith Emerson. I mean, you know, great guys. I was helping Ronnie during his final tour over here in Florida, and we hung out together a little bit and everything. And then Keith Emerson, I talked to him for like an hour and a half. He sounded like he was happy and, you know, lots of jokes and this. And you just never know, you know. You just never know.
Yeah.
Shame.
Yeah.
Yep. Your Herbal Tribe tea. Where can people buy it? Can you buy it online or?
Right now, I think we're only selling it at RogerFisher.com.
Okay.
But we're just about to ramp up and come out with new packaging, and it will be available in tea bags.
Okay.
And it's just amazing stuff. I was without it for a couple of months here, waiting for the new batch to be created. And the new batch is different than the old batch in that it's been cut and sifted into smaller pieces. And so the whole, 200 pounds of tea is all blended more perfectly. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's like 34 elements in it now, which is the most complex tea in the world.
Wow.
And all the constituents have a certain specific thing that they do in the body.
Mm-hmm.
And the synergism of them working together is amazing. Like, my favorite thing about the tea is what it does to your mind. It
mm-hmm.
really it increases blood flow to the brain,
right.
Stimulates your pineal gland, and which is really important. I mean, anybody who knows about the pineal gland knows that it's like the third eye. It's your interface to the higher energy, higher intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And so when that gets more sharp, then you tend to be a little bit more telepathic and that sort of thing. And, you know, it's cool because when I was younger, you couldn't really talk about telepathy very much because people would just think you're nuts. But
right.
as more and more people realize that, wow, I actually do have a little bit of telepathy now and then, and I can mm-hmm. nurture that and cultivate that and increase it, well, then something like this Human Tribe tea becomes very it becomes very important because mm-hmm. it's wonderful stuff, yeah.
Well, how did it all come together? I mean, the ingredients and everything. Who's making the tea?
It originally started with my desire to... I was just Googling different herbs and stuff, and I thought, well, geez, I would like a tea that would do this and would help this and would do this and would help this.
Right.
And so I just put together about 25 ingredients and made this tea. And I was showing it off, this big jar of it, on Facebook, when a longtime friend of mine contacted me. This guy has studied under the Dalai Lama. He's a actual Tibetan doctor. He's an herbalist and a perfumist.
Right.
And he said, well, geez, Raj, you know, you should add this, this, and this, and you should do it in these proportions, and you would have something that's doing what you want it to do, but even more powerfully. So he and I worked together on the formula, and it's cool stuff. It you drink this tea and you immediately are thinking more clearly. It increases your circulation, so it's like the ideal thing for a hangover, for instance. My
yeah.
God, get up in the morning, you've got a hangover. You drink this tea, and it just cleans you out. It helps all that latent alcohol
right.
move through your veins and it does the opposite of what alcohol does. So very often at parties, I'll bring a big thermos of the tea, the kind where you can, you know, push on a button on the top and it dispenses itself into your cups nice
okay.
and hot. And we have a favorite at parties. We call it tequila.
Mm-hmm.
You take that human tried tea and put a shot of tequila in it. And, oh,
really?
Oh, man. It's so good. Yeah.
Well, while you're curing the hangover and drinking at the same time.
Yeah, you're creating the hangover and curing it at the same time.
That's great. I'm assuming, is there any caffeine in this at all? Or?
There's no caffeine.
No caffeine.
It's slightly stimulating, but it's also
right.
relaxing at the same time. So
it's all natural. Yeah, all
yeah
natural
I
stuff.
Think it's balancing is what it does.
Yeah, I'm going to get some. I'm going to try it because me and my wife also drink. I saw it had ginkgo biloba, right? That was
exactly.
in there as well. Yeah,
yeah. That increases blood flow in the brain, provided
yep.
you have one, of course.
That's you know. I wish you all the luck with it, man. I hope it takes off big time. I'm sure it will.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, the tea's like wine. You know, there's the people like a variety of different teas. You know.
Yeah.
And they get excited about it.
Yeah, and dealing with this one particular person in the tea industry that I'm working with on the packaging, et cetera, man, this guy, you come into his place of business, and it always smells really good in there because it's full of all these different herbs. And he'll sit you down and try on three or four different kinds of tea that are each so good. And so it's like they're the best you can get in the world of each of these different kinds of teas.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, it just really gives you an appreciation for the depth of art that can be involved in tea and the effects of different herbs. It's really great. It's been a real fun exploration into this industry.
Exactly. I mean, it's amazing how rock stars have become entrepreneurs. Like Jesse Colin Young, you know, he's got coffee. He's got a coffee farm in Hawaii.
Oh.
And, yep. And Roger Earl from Foghat, they've got Foghat wine. They have their own wine. Yeah. So, and now here's Roger's Human Tribe Tea.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's excellent, man. Yeah, I'm going to try some. I'll order some from your website for me and my wife
excellent.
To try.
Yeah.
It might be a regular thing. Is there an amount you should not drink, or you can drink it all day? Because I'm a big coffee drinker, too.
Yeah. Well, it's great because you can, I mean, once you've had your, like, morning fix of coffee, then if
right.
you switch to this tea, you find that it's mentally clarifying, and it gives you a certain kind of energy that is real helpful to being productive and creative. I drank it every day in pretty large quantities for 2 years before really pushing it that much as a product, because I just wanted to make sure you know, that I didn't start growing tendrils out of my earlobes or some weird thing. You know? And aside from my usual extraordinarily unacceptable quirkiness, you know, I think the tea is safe and good.
Good. Yeah, it's all natural stuff. I did see the ingredients, and there's quite a lot of ingredients in it, but it's all natural things that you
organic herbs.
All organic, yeah.
From all over the world, yeah.
Yeah, excellent. Roger, here's a question I ask everybody. If you had a Field of Dreams wish, you know, like the movie, to perform or collaborate with anyone from the past or present, who would you pick?
Oh, I've put that band together many times. Well, it would. We'd have David Gilmour and Jeff Beck, Jimmy Page, Eric Clapton, Paul McCartney, Ringo, and Mike DeRocher.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain other people that you probably haven't heard of, but like this guy named Gordy Ryan is one of the world's best hand percussionists. My God, he's mm-hmm. just awesome. He's in my present band. But I've always wanted to play with McCartney, and I know that if we wrote together, it would be awesome. It would just be amazing. So that's been a goal for a long time. The only way that something like that can come true, I think, is if we had the kind of success that I would like to have with mm-hmm. our current project, which
right.
isn't out of the question, but it's pretty darn remote, it seems like. The possibility of, you know, having major success again at 67 years old, it seems pretty unlikely, but, you know, I don't really care. People, every once in a while, will make a comment like, geez, Raj, you know, you're 67 years old now, you've had all this success. Does it bum you out that you aren't being successful now? And I say, you know, I get together and work with my brother 5 days a week
sure.
on music, and I can't imagine any greater success than that.
Right,
So exactly. I am successful, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if the music sells or not. I know the music is great, and I love it, and I get to work with this amazing, great person every day, and so I'm so grateful. My life is so blessed.
Roger is still a young guy, man. I covered John Mayall's show here. He turned 80 in Sarasota, and
uh-huh.
you know, the guy's still putting out albums. You know, he's got to be like 83 now, 84. Petula Clark, I interviewed her. She's still pumping them out. She's in her 80s. You're still a young guy.
Yeah, that's
we're expecting
right.
a lot more out of you now.
Yeah. That's good to hear. You know,
we just opened up a new can of worms for you. But, you know, that's a good idea. You should get some more collaborations and invite some of these guys, especially maybe on the blues album. Is the blues album already recorded?
Yeah, and we did do
really?
We did do one collaboration that is absolutely extraordinary, and that was with this lady named Mindy Hebert.
Okay.
You know that name?
I heard of the name, yeah. I think I might have saw her on maybe YouTube.
Yeah, she toured with Aerosmith.
Right.
She's just a rising star. She is so good. Such a great saxophonist. She's just coming out with a new album that would be totally worth looking into. But she plays on two tracks on the blues
great.
Album, and she just blows you away. She's so good.
Yeah, I love saxophone. One of my favorite instruments.
I really like playing with musicians that play off the lyrics of a song. That's what I did with Heart, and that's what
right.
I think really gave the guitar playing relevance, and it gave it energy and gave it meaning, was because I was interpreting the lyrics of the song and putting out the kind of energy that supported the lyrics. So that's, I think, a large part of what made my guitar playing work. And so when you got a bass player, oh, we had this monstrous bass player on the blues album, a Russian guy named Farko Dasumov.
Huh.
He's one of the three best bass players in the Seattle area. And he plays off the lyrics. And so you're hearing this song. It's like the first song on the album is called No More Blues. And
right.
It's just the story of sitting out on a front porch with an old black guy, just chilling and laying down some slide guitar. And the bass player in this song, Farko, is just accenting the lyrics so nicely. He's speaking the lyrics with a non-verbal voice.
Mm-hmm.
It's extraordinary. And then Mindy Hebert comes in with her sax and just explodes with this joyous part. When we were recording it at the Village in L.A., I told her, Mindy, when you come in with the sax solo, I want you to just be exploding with joy, playing like you've never played before. And
right.
God, she really, really steps up and does that. God, she just carries you away. When you hear the song No More Blues, you're going to,
mm-hmm.
I think you'll think that, my God, that's a hit song. I listened to it last night, and that's what I thought. I thought, man, this is a hit song. And,
I can't wait for the album. I really can't.
Yeah.
You don't get a chance to listen to too many blues. You know, I used to like Johnny Winter's, you know, when he did the, he brought in some other artists, like his last one, Roots, you know, his Roots albums and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
But there's not a lot of, you know, blues out there. I love Beth Hart when anything she does. I've had her on the show. She's got a great blues voice. But
Bonamassa.
Yeah, the Bonamassa. Yeah, Bonamassa. Yeah, he's good.
I really like him.
This album
I'm talking about is not a blues album. It's
right.
It's and homage to the blues and to mm-hmm. the roots of all that. But it's not blues per se. I didn't want it. We don't need another blues album from some white guy, I don't think. So, but it's a real celebration of blues. And it gets bluesy in places, but there's mm-hmm. gospel influence and jazz influence. And I just spoke yesterday with a person that I'm going to be co-writing the last song with. And he's a major force in the industry, kind of mm-hmm. a behind-the-scenes composer
right.
guy. And we're going to bring an orchestral aspect to the very last song. So
oh, wow.
the album will evolve from very simple, down-home, bluesy influence at the beginning to a fully evolved multi-piece orchestra ending that will be a very significant contribution to, you know, today's rock music.
Right. That's incredible. That's going to be a great album. Okay. Now, when do you expect it to be released?
By September, I think.
By September. Okay.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that for sure. You know, you got your own signature style, you know. I mean, sometimes only the rock and roll, you know, aficionados can pick things up. You know, sometimes you know, people are just so used to hearing the same thing over and over again. But you definitely have your own style of playing guitar, you know, and that's what made Heart so great. You know, I mean, the girls were awesome, but you guys were even more awesome in my opinion. You know, all the guys in the beginning of Heart wanted to, you know, they were there to hear the rock and roll that you guys produced. You guys were awesome.
Yeah.
You know?
Thank you. Yeah.
You guys were awesome. And you got the sound. You have that, you know, particular Roger Fisher sound that nobody else can produce. Thank God for that.
Yeah, I got that going for me. Well,
exactly.
New stuff, because that influence is, you know, even more clear now because I'm singing in a very signature style as well. And
I didn't know you had such a good voice, by the way. You know, well, I never got a chance to really, really hear your voice before.
Yeah, you know, back in the day with Hart, I smoked cigarettes, and that was a real it just made my voice not work. I couldn't sing in tune,
right?
And so Ann and Nance wouldn't let me sing, you know, live.
Mm-hmm.
It was so often out of tune. So that was really, really painful for me not to be included in the singing. So when I left the band, I devoted myself. I was taking lessons 2 hours a day, 5 days a week with Seattle's most notorious vocal coach. And so I worked really, really hard to become a singer. And it's fun, you know, as an artist, when you are being influenced by the greatness that has come before you, you can't copy. You can't show an influence that's too strong, or you're ripping off your influence. So part of the artistic process, part of the process of becoming an artist, is finding your character and and bringing that out. And so that was a very deliberate choice I made early on when I realized that I could sound like Howard Roberts, I could sound like Jimmy Page, I could sound like Hendrix, I could sound like Van Halen. Then I deliberately didn't copy those guys too much because I didn't want too much of their influence in my playing.
Right.
And I would just, so it very deliberately chose a path that didn't follow too closely in other people's footsteps.
And that's hard
to do. It's really hard to do.
Very hard to do.
That's why somebody like Hendrix or Van Halen or Jeff Beck are so extraordinary, because their signatures are so clearly them. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you also have your own signature voice now too, because you know it's you. You know.
And well, wait, we hear the blues album. There's this character that comes out that it's like I've got an old weathered black blues guy tethered up inside me, and he comes out like a catfish comes out from under a log. He comes out and he's just kind of like this, you know.
Right. Are you drinking Jack Daniels out of a brown paper bag while you're singing?
Hey, you know, hang on for a second, Ray. My brother's calling.
Okay.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Rut.
You are on the air live on Tampa Bay Radio.
Hey, Mike.
Well, hey, who's this?
This is Ray Shasho. You're on the Ray Shasho Show.
Awesome.
Yeah, we broadcast from California, but I'm in Tampa, in the Tampa Bay area. So we broadcast all over the world. And I've been talking to Roger, and he's telling me how happy he is working with you and seeing his brother every day. So.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, you guys got a great relationship.
Yeah, it's really, really amazing. And I can't even imagine how lucky anybody would be that got to do what I get to do every day with Raj. It's just so incredible.
And you're creating great music, you know. I gave All Told 5 stars. It's an excellent album. You know, a lot of work went into it. We're looking forward to the blues album. We're also looking forward to some more of the Balance of the Untold series as well.
Yeah, the second album is almost teed up.
Right.
And we're so excited about it. There's some really great commercial-type music on there.
Well, you guys have the background. You know, I was telling Roger, you know, for me, Hart was never the same when the guys left. You know, and the guys never really got their fair share of credit. Because of the girls, you know, they did sing well and they were great songwriters and everything. But the rock and roll of Hart was definitely the guys, and And I was just talking about Roger's signature playing. Nobody can copy Roger. He's got his own style, you know, and that's definitely the Hart style. So
it's really apparent when he sits in with some of these Hart tribute bands.
Right.
It's so fun to watch because some of these bands are really good.
But they are good.
When Rod steps on stage with them, it just goes through the roof. It's just such an amazing change all of a sudden when that happens.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Ann and Nancy ended up with the trademark, right? The Hart name. How did that ever happen anyway? I know you got to vote on it, and there's a corporation. It's just like a corporation when you vote on that stuff.
Yeah, well, when we created Hart,
right.
We created it with Ann. So
right,
that business, that company, was a partnership between us band members, and somewhere along the way, in a rush at an airport. Somebody showed up with about 3-inch thick contract that was changing everything about our business,
mm-hmm.
which we were compelled to sign like quickly and, you know, without really studying
right.
all the fine print. And a lot of things got changed around to the detriment of everybody except Ann and Nancy, I think.
Because you would have had probably enough people to vote against it, really, right? Because, like, in the corporation, people have to sign off on it. And I think the only one that stayed there was Howard. So you might have had the votes.
Well, you know, the thing is that when you eliminate people,
right,
there's more money for each of the people that stay. So
okay.
that's a... But it wasn't really that simple. You know, there were...
Right.
A lot of other forces going on, and the way it was going, Roger and I, you know, we pretty much needed to leave in a way
right.
because
right.
it was going to go in a direction that wasn't right for us, and that's what happened.
Yeah,
it did.
You didn't want to fight it; you just wanted out.
Well,
we
fought it for a long time. I mean, you know, any group of people that are trying to work together, there's certain tensions here and there.
Yeah.
The beauty of Hart was that the result of that was this beautiful thing. And
mm-hmm.
Roger and I were of the opinion that you should respect that.
Sure.
And honor that and honor and respect each other enough to be able to give and take a little bit. And
mm-hmm.
because it was the synchronicity and the joy we all had working together and working through things where, you know, there was competitive ideas and personalities, but the end result was great.
Yeah. Yeah. You did a wonderful job, by the way, with the band. You really did. You were very instrumental to, I guess, directing the band, you know, in the right direction and everything. The early days of Hart were unbelievable.
I have a lot more respect for anybody that was in the role that I was in because it's
right.
really, really hard to get people to harmonize in the right way, you know, over a period of time, and not easy.
No, it's not. It really isn't. Well, it's like owning your own business, you know, pretty much, and, you know, just running things day to day.
Yeah, it's a lot like that, except it's harder because you're on the road 24/7 with each other. You don't get to go home and have vacations and stuff, at least when you're on the kind of schedule that we were on, doing 250 shows a year or something like that.
You know, I saw Hart at a small club in Baltimore called the Hollywood Palace. Can you? This is before you guys even made it to, you know, arenas or anything like that. It was a very small
that.
Club.
I remember that night.
That's a long time ago, man.
So Ray, that was kind of like the downstairs. It had a low ceiling, right?
It had a low ceiling, right? Yep.
Yeah. We just kicked ass in that place.
Yeah, the acoustics were pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Baltimore loved you guys. Baltimore, D.C. area. That's where I grew up, in the Baltimore, D.C. area.
Very cool.
Roger, you have anything else to add?
Well, you know, on the subject of being happy, I would suggest to our listeners that you choose happiness instead of getting too riled up about all the stuff we can get riled up about, you know. And, yeah, that's what I have to say. Choose happiness.
Well, everybody needs to take your advice, because all they have to do is check you out on Facebook and see you smiling every day and having fun.
Raj is pure fun almost all the time.
Oh, yeah, I can see that. I can see how you guys growing up as brothers must have been a lot of fun.
Oh, it was. It was.
Yeah.
There was a very significant evolutionary process.
I like that explanation. What's the difference between your ages?
Ray, just a sec. So at one point, we were getting close. I mean, you know, brothers fight. We were getting close to the point where somebody was going to get killed. So we made a pact.
We passed that point.
Yeah. We made a pact that we're not going to fight anymore and that we're going to be cool to each other.
Right.
Yeah, and ever since then, it's been wonderful.
Awesome. Well, when did you make that pact? How long ago?
What about? We were 59.
Yeah, 13 and 15 years old, I think. But, you know, I think I was 8 or 9, 9 or 10, I guess, when I was in a fight with my brother and sister.
Uh-huh.
And Roger went into our dad's bedroom, got his German Luger, which was loaded, and came out and pointed it right at my head and pulled the
trigger.
Holy crap. Now, that's a learning experience that's very intense.
That
and
is intense.
People can say they've experienced that, but I have experienced that. And that teaches you a whole lot about getting along with each other.
Oh, definitely. That's pretty scary. Roger, Mike, I want to get you guys on again after the Blues album is released so we can promote the hell out of that, because I'm really looking forward to that. And the rest of the albums with All Told, you got lots of stuff going on. And, you know, the best of luck to both of you. And keep on rocking, man. You guys are awesome.
Thanks so much, Ray. Yeah, stay in touch, and good things are coming.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show, both of you.
Great talking to you, Ray.
Great talking to you, too. Take care.
Okay, we'll
bye-bye.
See you. Have fun.
All right. Bye-bye now. Purchase All Told, the latest album by Roger Fisher and the Human Tribe at Amazon.com. For more information about Roger Fisher and upcoming tour dates, visit www.rogerfisher.com or visit Roger's Facebook page and see how happy he is every day at www.facebook.com/Raj4Real/. And Roger's also on Twitter at Roger Fisher at RRROG. Very special thanks to Doug and Don Newsom with BBS Radio for making it all happen every show. Please join me biweekly Mondays at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. On the Ray Shasho Show. If you have comments or suggestions or would like to be a guest on the Ray Shasho Show, call 941-877-1552 or email us at ray@publicityworksagency.com. And please don't forget to purchase a copy of my book entitled Check the G's, The True Story of an Eclectic American Family and Their Wacky Family Business, or the second edition entitled Wacky Shenanigans on F Street, Proud to Be Politically Incorrect in Washington, D.C., available now at Amazon.com. You'll live it. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to the Ray Shasho Show, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call 941-877-1552 or visit us at publicityworksagency.com, specializing in author and music artist publicity plans. We shine when we make you shine. Join Ray Shasho every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on PBS Radio Station 1.